Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Our text starts with the Pharisees, well, appearing like they're trying to be Jesus' friends. They're watching out for him. But it's not true. The Pharisees are trying to drive Jesus away from Jerusalem. So they come to Jesus with the report that Herod Antipas is wanting to kill him. It's true, Herod did fear Jesus because, well, Antipas, well, believed in reincarnationism. He thinks Jesus is the beheaded John the Baptist back from the dead to haunt him. Yet on Good Friday, when Antipas has every opportunity to kill Jesus, he seems more interested in the traveling miracle-working show that Jesus might put on for him, but he doesn't, than seeing him put to death. So it appears very clearly that these Pharisees are simply trying to scare Jesus away because he's bad for business. As people hear him and see him, they seek to follow him and leave what the temple had become and its false worship that had occurred. Jesus, however, is no hired hand. He's not somebody who doesn't care for his sheep. He actually cares for them. And so he sets his face to Jerusalem to lay down his life for these sheep. As Jesus put it in our text today, he's going to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So surely the Pharisees, who thought that they had another plan that would have kept Jesus off his path, must have been shocked with his response. Go tell that fox. Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. You see, no one's going to take Jesus' life. He must freely give it up. Remember when he was in his hometown and they couldn't bear his teachings anymore and they were going to throw him off the hill to kill him? And he passes right through them as if they're not even there. Jesus says, as John records, I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And he will not lay it down until he is in Jerusalem. So to say Jesus is determined to go to Jerusalem is simply to say that he is determined to go and lay down his life for us. This is what he told his disciples a second time after the Mount of Transfiguration. As he says to them in Luke 9, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. This is how Jesus will die. No other. His word is truth. The prophecies will be fulfilled. So the Lord continues to teach. And he talks to the Pharisees about how corrupt Jerusalem is when he says this, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to them. I tell you, your house is forsaken. He says, behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here the good shepherd has come for his sheep, and they have refused. But still he came, and still he called for them as he preached. Luke tells us that during his final days in Jerusalem, he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel. He taught those conspiring to kill him. He taught for those who killed him. He taught in a city responsible for the rejection and for his rejection and the rejection and murder of many who had gone before him. As Luke records in Luke 11:51, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, because he longed for them. He wanted them to know that he will be pierced for their transgressions, though they wanted no part of him, they even wanted him gone, Jesus is going to finish his course. The course that Moses and Elijah had spoken to him on the Mount of Transfiguration, the course that he knew full well would lead not only to rejection, but death. But also, thanks be to God, to resurrection on the third day. But when Jesus declares, "Behold, your house is forsaken," he is declaring how vacant the word of God is in his house anymore and amongst his people. And when he says, "I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord,'" we know what Jesus is talking about. This is Palm Sunday, when indeed these words are spoken, that Jesus is talking about Jerusalem in every way, though, that mattered, was a wasteland. The priests and the scribes, the Pharisees and Sadducees, so many of the people refused to hear the word of God. They refused to see. They were not willing. And oh, how heartbreaking it is when our loved ones also refuse to hear and see all that the Lord is doing. As these words are spoken to us as well today. This forsakenness Jesus speaks of points to and includes the absence of the gospel in the temple, just as it does in the church today. It points to and includes the destruction of Jerusalem to come at the hands of the Romans in 70 AD. And it points to and includes the rising and the teaching of all the false teachers that continue to come to lead people astray even now, as those who claim to sit in God's temple and the church oppose God, exalting themselves instead. And finally, this forsakenness points to and includes, well, the time when everything seems to fall apart, when faith seems to have disappeared from the earth, when the sun and the moon and the stars fall from the sky, and all is in desolation. At this time, dear friends in Christ, we are told, don't run. Don't hide, for the Lord will return for all the children of God. He will come in glory, and all our cries of Hosanna, Lord save us, will be answered on that day. Everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At that point, it'll be far too late to run. Far too late to repent. Far too late to change your priorities. And all will know, indeed, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Sad to say, on that day, some will be confessing Jesus is Lord for the very first time. And it will be to their judgment. Dear family in Christ, our Savior comes. He once rode on a donkey to die in Jerusalem on a cross, where he alone bore the sins of the world. Today we remember that again, not only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as we began the service, but as Annika was baptized in that same death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She is now an adopted child of God, an heir of the kingdom of heaven, just like us. She has received the gift of the Holy Spirit, just as Christ has promised for us. You see, all who have God-given faith know that their Redeemer lives, and all who have God-given faith know that because he lives, they too will live. Did you hear it today? Your sins are forgiven. You see, for as we've seen our Savior on his way to Jerusalem, we've seen the depths of his love for us. For the Lord faced certain death and complete rejection, and yet he did so to gather us under his outstretched arms and bring life to all who believe. You and I now come together in the blessed name of the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we can have peace. For by grace through faith we are included as God's chosen people, adopted through the waters of baptism, fed at the Lord's table, His very body and blood, freed through this forgiveness that is blood bought for us. We now stand before God innocent and clean simply because God has done all for us. You see, nothing's going to stop Jesus. Not the devil's temptations, not the Pharisees, certainly not Antipas, not even death. See why we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Why we'll rejoice to say that in just a few weeks on Palm Sunday? You see, we say that because he comes for you. He comes to redeem us, to restore us, to forgive us, and to make us his own. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.